Pastor Jeff asked me to pray. I do things in teams, sometimes with others and sometimes with my good husband. So we're going to pray together for Pastor Jeff. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are here. We have come expectant. Many reasons we show up, but we mostly want to hear from you. So we thank you for what you have shared with Pastor Jeff and what he's going to share with you, with us. And we want to hear from you. We ask your Holy Spirit to give us ears to hear and hearts to respond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'll take that. So we just finished up a series on the inner life, really on the soul. And as we head into Thanksgiving, I always feel like it's important that we look back over and talk about gratefulness and gratitude. And I generally find myself, when whatever I'm preaching on, I find myself running into the opposition of whatever I'm going to preach on the week I'm going to preach on it. And so I spent 2.5 days, Thursday to yesterday, in bed with a head cold. And many of you know I've got all kinds of sinus issues. We're going to have surgery on the 29th, so I'm really excited about that. And but I found myself in bed contemplating gratitude, not feeling very gratitude-ish, not feeling very gracious or grateful. I just wanted the head cold to stop, and so I prayed and asked God to relieve my cold, and it didn't. And he didn't decide to do it in that nature. And so I sat there. And it's fun. I think whenever we talk about gratitude, I think sometimes immediately our minds have a tendency to go to the opposite. And so I found some memes this week that kind of highlight that. You know, Woody and Buzz. Ungrateful people. Ungrateful people everywhere. It doesn't take a hard look to look around and notice things that we're ungrateful for, right? Just for fun. I don't know if you can see that, but that's a dead mouse. This is why I don't have cats. That, I'm allergic to them, but I don't need their prizes. I would be an ungrateful human. Although I don't like mice even more, so maybe I would be grateful. I'm not sure. You know, this one hit me really hard, and I thought I'd hit you with it too as we head into this season. Hold on. You mean to tell me that people trample others for sales exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have? Ouch! That was like, I saw this and I was like, wow, this is a huge slap. All right, I'm not the only one getting slapped. I'm going to share this one. Oh, man, it always strikes me as odd. I went out one time on Black Friday and never again. They call themselves the crazies, and it is every single bit of that. If you're crazy, hey, good on you for getting up and being one of the five people to get that TV for $50 less than it normally costs. But I think when in the midst of trying to be grateful, maybe our mind, ourselves, and the enemy like to steer us in the direction of being ungrateful first, and we miss the things that we should be grateful for. So this morning, I want to look at Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13. It's page 1130 on most of the 1140 on most of the pew Bibles in front of you, 1140, and I'm going to read it for us, and then we're going to look at these two things this morning. But Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13, and you may be familiar with a couple of these verses in here. We've shared a couple of them throughout the year, and one of them is getting a lot of airplay right now. There's if you know who Steph Curry is. But Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, my brothers and sisters, whom I have loved and longed for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with you, Euodia, and I plead with you, Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is pure, or right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have not had an opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I've learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And I'll look at these two things this morning in regards to this passage of Scripture. The first is that our part, I believe, is to guard our hearts and to guard our minds. And then God's part is the response of Christ to us in the midst of this thing called gratitude. And so first I want to look at the heart. And there's a couple different things in here. I'm not going to go through a couple verses. I'm going to look at the whole because I think Paul, the author of this book, kind of talks through these throughout the passage and leads to that last verse. And so the first is through the heart. There we go. He says, first of all, to rejoice in the Lord in verse 4. And then he says, I'll say it again in case you didn't get it. Rejoice. And my first thought is, what can I praise God for today? In the midst of all the stuff in my life, all the things that are bombarding me, maybe the grocery list that you have to still purchase this week, maybe you're the one cooking the meal and you're stressing out already, and a family's coming and you're not sure if it's going to be a fight or a blessing, and that's all in your head. Well, what can you praise God for first? What are the things that you can rejoice in God about first, Paul starts with? And then do nothing out, don't be anxious about anything. And I want to pause because last week we talked about how the issues of the spirit. And so anxiousness can be to the point of overwhelming. And in my mind, it can be one of two things, either a spiritual attack or a medical issue. And so that's not the anxiousness at which I think he's talking about here. The medical issue demands that we go see a doctor to get that under control. The spiritual issue demands that we go and have others walk with us to help with it, whatever that spiritual attack is. But all of us know what it means to be anxious. All of us at one point in our lives have been anxious. And Paul says, listen, don't be anxious about anything because we have God in our lives. We cannot be anxious and be grateful at the same time. We can't. They can't entertain the same space in our brain. It's not possible. So if you're sitting here anxious this morning, chances are about 99.999 repeating that you're not grateful too at that same moment. And so if you want to be grateful, then we have to give God the anxiousness. And he gives us a pattern of how to do that in the next verses here. In every situation, whatever the situation is, stop and pray. And the concept here for this word is really to find space, to get space so we can be you and God. So it's not, you know, you're driving down the road and the person cuts you off, maybe. Dear Lord, do something to them. No, this is creating a space where you can stop and be still and be with God. And the petition here is an ask. What is the need that you have? Is there something that's causing you to be anxious? Paul says, listen, God is big and he can hear it and wants to hear it, so give it to him. And then the response of that God has taken it, is to be thankful. And so gratitude, or having an attitude of gratitude, really takes God and us working together. But we can't do that unless we're being in this place of gratitude. So we'll continue this morning. And then again, I rejoice greatly in the Lord because of the people who renewed their concern. I think it's almost impossible to be in an attitude of gratitude without other people coming around us. And we need to identify when people are pouring into us in our hearts. So let your heart rejoice and be grateful in the help and love that you find from others. So there's a heart peace at which I need to give space in my life for God to come in and take it. And then there's also a heart peace at which I need to identify the people that God has brought around me so that I can be grateful as well. And this played out for me early on in my life. When I was just a little guy, in first grade, my dad moved us from Pennsylvania all the way to Oklahoma. So we moved all the way across the country. And within the first week, my dad was a pastor. And then the first week, for whatever reason, I don't know all the reasons, but for whatever reason, the church decided to cut my dad's salary in half to pay down the mortgage of the church. And so we had moved all the way across country, and immediately the salary was cut in half, which was really small at that point. And we could have just sat and focused on that. But I can't remember ever hearing my parents complain. Because a couple weeks later, they had a side job where they cleaned a doctor's office, and the doctor decided to pay my parents half the salary that they were getting from the church. So within a couple weeks, his salary was restored. And I grew up, my brother Mike and I like to say, like the older ones of us, I'm one of five, the older ones of us really know what it is to have wants. We never went out to dinner when we were kids. We went to McDonald's for the 25-cent cone. And we thought that was the greatest thing in the world. Because we didn't know what a steak tastes like. That was a foreign concept to us. And my parents loved to tell this story. My brother was giving me this hand-me-down bike. And it was a terrible bike. And one day my dad showed up at the church. And there was a brand new bike inside the church doors with a note on it that said, "For Tim, every boy should have a good bike." And at one point, I was walking around with duct tape shoes because my parents couldn't buy me new ones. They couldn't buy me new ones. And my mom loves to tell this story that they showed up at the house and a brand new pair of shoes in my size, I don't understand, God knows, were tied to the doorknob of the house. No boy should have to duct tape his shoes. Now, I could sit and I could dwell on the fact of growing up in that house with not knowing what a steak tastes like or watching my parents try to pay the bills, or I could shift my focus on watching the miraculous things that God did through his people around my parents. I have a choice to engage in the things of gratitude or to engage in the things that make me ungrateful. It's a choice of mine. It's not all on God. There's a part that I play in it. And I think also the mind is involved here. I think the mind is involved, and he shares this with us. Paul asked the church in the first couple of verses in Philippi to help Euodia and Syntyche. I love that name. If I want a pet, I want to name it Syntyche. It's a cool name. But they were fighting. For whatever reason, they could not agree. They could not get their minds together. And Paul says, help them be of same minds. Help their minds get on the same page. Because right now, they are fighting with one another. They can't be grateful because their focus is on how much they dislike each other. Help them understand that they work for the same God. When they do, then all of you, the whole church, can be grateful. And so we need to remind one another to be grateful. If you see your brother or sister that is struggling and in a place of struggle, remind them of the good things that are in their life, even when it seems like there isn't any to them. We need one another in this process. We do. And then this amazing verse, 4:8, that I use all the time to help me with to control the thoughts and patterns in my mind. We've shared it with you throughout this year. The original context of this has to do with this thing of being grateful. We cannot be grateful if our mind is focused on the things that cause us to be ungrateful. We can't. So Paul says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, not a lie, think on that. Whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent and praiseworthy, think about such things. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be sad or frustrated or angry or any of those normal feelings that human beings have and feel. But we cannot stay in that place forever. God wants to bring us to a place of thanksgiving. And the only way to do that is to change the patterns of the mind. If we continue to focus on the things that are negative, we're going to be negative. If we allow God to help us focus on the things that are true, then we can be brought into a place of gratitude. I think it's super easy. It's super easy to get overwhelmed by this one. I could have woken up on Tuesday and Thursday and gone, this sucks. And I did. But you know, and I sat there and I thought, wow, it's terrible that I'm sick. But I have a bed to lay in. And there's millions of people around the world that don't have a bed to lay in. And I could be miserable that I'm sick. Or I could be thankful that there's a roof over my head. Because there's thousands of people right now in California that don't have a roof over their head. And I could sit and soak in the fact that my nose doesn't work. Or I could praise God that my lungs do. I could sit and soak in the fact that I was sick. Or I could praise God that I have this amazing wife who deals with all my junk when I'm sick. Because I'm a terrible sick person. I'm just telling you, I'm terrible. And by like day 2.5, my wife was like, all right, I'm done with this. Put your big boy pants on. Come on. I could be upset and go, stop nagging me, or I could praise God that I have a wife that cares about me. I could sit and I could soak in the fact that my nose didn't work and I didn't feel well, or I could praise God that I have two beautiful boys who went out and shoveled the driveway for me and I didn't have to. Come on. Some of this has to do with what goes on in our brain. And some of this has to do with the thoughts that we allow to sit there. Some of it allows us to sit and rotate on those lies and those untruths that float around in our brain, or to sit and focus on those things that are true and pure and right and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. We have a choice to adjust our heart and our mind so that God can change us. And I think he does. And I think the response of God is very important. Verse 7, after being anxious and going through that pattern, right, of creating space and petitioning God and bringing us to a place of thankfulness, and the peace of God will transcend all your understanding. When you get yourself in that place and you allow God to be God in your life, his peace can rest on you. But if we don't put ourselves in that place, we're not going to understand, receive, or feel his peace. But he wants to. He wants to transcend your understanding and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So will we let him guard our hearts and minds? Will we let him do it? Then we have this verse that gets used often in regards to power. I can do this. I can get this done. I can accomplish this. Like I said before, this verse right now, it's on, whether you realize this or not, it's on all Steph Curry's stuff. I can do all things. It's somewhere on his shoes, either the verse itself, Philippians 4:13, or I can do all things. It's somewhere on all of his things because this is his favorite verse. But really the context of this verse is, I can do all things. I can be grateful in every circumstance because of God. That's the real context here. It really has nothing to do with the power to overcome. It really has everything to do with the attitude of being grateful. There's my part, but then there's also God's part as he rests on us. Then I can do all things. I can be grateful in every single circumstance, good or bad. The strength here is power, endure with strength, to be strengthened, to be grateful for what comes from God. In between those verses, he says this in 11b to 12. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. How did he do that? He did it by allowing his heart and his mind to be guided by Jesus. If my world is me focused, it's going to be about me and I'm going to fail. I'm going to fall on my face. And I'm going to focus on the things that make me sad and sorrowful all the time. But if I redirect my focus and allow the God of the universe, creator of you and me, into this space, I can be a person of gratitude. I can. I want to close with a story I've been waiting to tell you for a while, and I would have been out of context if I shared it any other time. But there are times in my life, even as a pastor, someone whose job is to tell others about Jesus or direct people to Jesus, there are times when I forget about him. Or I don't focus on him. This is a reality. And generally, circumstances I allow to take over and change my worldview. And last month, I was in a funk. I just was. And I was allowing circumstances to really change my attitude in a negative way. And I went to our district conference, which is where all the pastors within the metro district, which we're a part of, which is all of New Jersey, Rockland, Orange, and Putnam counties, and then New York City, where we all get together. This year we elected a new district superintendent who oversees our district. And generally the first night of district conference, we put a pastor up on the stage who has had a really good year, because that's what we like to do. We like to identify the good stuff. We want to praise God for the good stuff. And I was sitting there going, man, just once. I want to hear a pastor get up there and go, man, this year stunk. It's terrible. But you know what? God. Because I walked around and listened to different guys' stories, and some of them had some rough times this year. And my go-to phrase for my first 20 years of ministry had been, God still sits on his throne. And the reality is, he does. But he's also knee-deep in whatever stuff you find yourself in. Good or bad. He cares about the good and the bad. And I was sitting there wallowing in the bad and completely neglecting the good. And just wallowing in that. And I was like, God, do you even care about me right now? That's how I was feeling. God, do you even care? We went into this time of prayer with other pastors and official workers, and we were in groups of three, and I was praying over this couple that I know, and they went to pray over me, and I heard somebody praying in Spanish to my right, and I thought, man, Lord, I just love somebody to pray over me in Spanish. I think when we get to heaven, I could be wrong. I just think we're all going to be speaking in our heart language, but we're all going to hear in our heart language. I don't know, that could be me. I just love when I hear multiple languages talk to God. I just think it's really, really cool. And so I was like, Lord, it'd be great if somebody prayed over me in another language. And I kid you not, 5 seconds later, there's a hand on my left shoulder, and this guy is praying over me in Spanish. And I just started to cry. I was like, well, Jesus, that was a really simple prayer, but thanks for answering. And I looked, expecting to see somebody that I know, and I looked up, I didn't know this dude. But he's praying over me. And I was like, wow, God, this is really good. And when we got done praying, I asked him what he prayed for, and he was praying the exact same thing for me that my friend was in English. And he was praying in Spanish, and she was praying in English. And I said to him, why did you come over and put your hand on me and pray for me? And he's like, I don't know. I was sitting in the back, and I heard, you know, I saw what was going on. I thought, man, I want in on prayer. And I saw you guys, so I just walked down and put my hand on you. And I said, well, 5 seconds before you showed up, I prayed and asked God to send somebody to pray over me in another language. And you put your hand on me and start praying over me in Spanish. And then we both began to cry. And we're hugging each other. We don't know each other. We're hugging each other. Right? And his name is Ronald Bailey, and he's a pastor down in the southern part of our district. And we're just having a God moment. Like, wow, this is really cool. And I said, Ronald, can I pray for you? He said, absolutely. We're having a God moment. You can pray for me. And then this is when it got really weird. All right? But it's okay because God. And so I put my hand on him, and I got this crazy picture in my brain, and I said, hey, I'm getting this picture in my brain. Can I just share this with you and just let me know if this makes sense to you? And he said, nodding, sure, sure. And so it was literally like getting pulled into a movie. This has happened to me a couple times in my life, and this, you know, sometimes God has to break through to us in ways that we're not really expecting sometimes. So I put my hand on him, and I got this picture that in front of me was dry, crusty, arid ground, like the desert, like hadn't seen water in years. And I thought, hey, I get this picture of dry, crusty ground in front of you. Like, you're in a place right now that is really, really tough. But then I looked down at his feet, and he didn't have feet. He had, like, plows, like you would walk behind a horse or an ox, like old school, like this kind of deal, on his for shoes. And as he was walking, the soil was being turned over. And so I'm sharing this with him, and I'm like, man, this guy's going to think I'm crazy. He's going to be like, somebody talk to Pastor Jeff. He needs help. And he started to cry. I'm like, oh, all right, well, maybe I'm close. And I said, I see like grass and bushes and flowers and trees behind you that like it's hard right now, but God is bringing you into a place of harvest. Like your church is it's a difficult, but God wants to do some stuff in your life, in your church. And he's nodding and crying. I said, all right. And then I feel like the enemy doesn't want you to succeed. So let me just pray for the enemy. And there's this really cool passage at the end of Ephesians chapter 6 about the armor of God. And so I'm praying the armor of God over this guy that the Lord would protect him as he serves the Lord. And he's nodding and crying. And then this picture that I'm getting, to the right of him was like this grandmother figure. And then to the left of him was this little six-year-old little girl. I don't know. Maybe it was the lunch, or maybe it's God. And so I'm sharing this with him, and then he really begins to cry. And I'm thinking, all right, I guess this is making sense to this dude, because it is not to me. And we're talking through this, and I'm talking, and I'm praying over him, and I'm sharing this picture with him. And then we get done, and he's sobbing. He's a big old dude. When you saw Haywood up, he's bigger than Haywood. Haywood's playing the bass. He's bigger than Haywood. And he's like leaning over, and I'm thinking, it's me and my skinny friend and his wife who's 4'2". And I'm like, this dude's going to fall over. And then I've said all this weird stuff to him and he's going to bust his head open. This is what I was thinking. And we get done and he's kind of sobbing. He brings himself together. And I said, I guess that made sense to you. And he just kind of nods. And I said, oh, do you want to tell me about it? And he said, sure. He said, a couple nights before he showed up at this conference, he had this dream. And in this dream, he was standing at the edge of a field. In front of him was dry, crusty ground, arid ground. And so, wow, this is strange. He looked at the end of the field, and there was, like, in his mind, the devil and this army, and they were coming after him, and he was scared. But he looked down at his feet, but he didn't have feet. He had plows. He was tilling the soil as he walked, and he looked behind him, and there was this whole forest. And at this point, I'm crying. And he said, I looked to my left, and there was a grandmother. And I looked to my right, and there was a six-year-old little girl. And I thought, all right, there's an army with me. It's a strange army, but there's an army with me. And I felt like God said, I know it's hard right now, but I'm bringing you into a time of harvest, and multiple generations are going to be affected because of what I have you doing. And I said, hey, Ronald, what were you wearing? He goes, I was wearing gold armor. And that was it. I was on my face crying out to God. And God, I went into district conference angry, upset. God, do you even care about me? Whining like a little child. And in the midst of that, God went on to speak some really significant truth to me. And then Ronald picked me up and he goes, no, Jeff, it gets better. He said, when I woke up from that dream, I said, wow, that was a strange dream. But if it's true, will you send somebody to tell me that it was true at district conference? And I walk up to some random white dude who had prayed over him in Spanish, and you interpreted what God, you confirmed what God had already said to me. When we align, I know that's dramatic, and that doesn't happen every day, right? I get it. But when we align our heart attitude and our mind with the things that God wants to say and do in us, we can have a heart attitude of gratitude. It's possible. And the stuff that is true and noble and just and pure and lovely and excellent and praiseworthy gets to stick deep down in the recesses of your soul, and gratitude becomes possible. There's a part that we play. It's not, I don't think it's a doing, I think it's a being, putting ourselves in a position to hear from God. And so, some simple responses, I think, for our part this morning. People do this one already. You want to shift your mind and your heart? Just make a list of the things you're grateful for. I did in my bed. This was not difficult. I didn't have to write it on a piece of paper. I just rattled it off in my brain. You can make a list. And when you start making that list of the things you're grateful for, man, it's really hard to be upset. Sometimes we only do this during this month, which is crazy to me, because there's things to be grateful for all year. Or if you want to set this into a pattern of your life, maybe a discipline, maybe the next one works for you. And I put it inside your bulletin. There's a little blue piece of paper. We like doing this one. Maybe just put this somewhere. Maybe it goes in something. Maybe you need to take a picture of it and put it somewhere. But at the end of each day, what if you took 5 seconds and just said, hey, where was I most grateful today? Oh, this is so easy. This is so simple. Right? Where was I most grateful today? And then, where was I least grateful? And then I think the more you kind of do this thing, so then those times when you want to be ungrateful, like the grateful gets to take over. And we get to put ourselves in a space, in a place, to hear what the God of the universe has to say to us. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, you are so, so good. Lord, I ask in whatever circumstance that you have brought us here this morning, that the stuff that distracts, the stuff that keeps us bound or focused on the things that don't bring us into a place of gratitude would fall off. And right now, you would start throwing into our minds the things that we can be grateful for. And that they would just land in the recesses of our mind, and that they would land on our hearts, that you would fill our souls with gratitude. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Will you stand?